He's gonna get better one day? All right, okay. He's been playing longer than Noah has, I think. All right, no choir practice tonight. Brother Marcus told me to tell you. So let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. We're gonna begin in verse 13 and 14. Two verses, but that doesn't mean anything. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. We're going through a series. Sometimes we fluctuate it from the evening to the morning, but on great gospel invitations in the New Testament. And we're beginning with Matthew, and we come to a passage here that's very familiar with us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. Only one way. Amen? Only one way. Now, y'all gonna have to respond a little bit this morning. I may have to start paying y'all to respond, okay? Linda, Matthew said she'll give $5 for everybody that says amen. Okay? So, amen? That cost you about $150 right there. But Matthew chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Think on this. Only one way. Let's stand in honor of God's word, and let's begin reading in verse 13. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction. And many there be which go therein, or thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Father, I pray today that as we open the text, that as we not only literally open our Bibles, but as we open the text to what it means and make application to it, I pray you teach us from your word that we might better understand why Jesus is the only way to heaven. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ. And we'll be able to defend that. And that will cause us to well up in within us appreciation for him and what he has done for us and why he has chosen us and things like that, Father. We ought to appreciate him enough to worship and to serve him. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And the God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Only one way. Now, I got to be honest with you. To believe in one way to God is fast becoming outdated and archaic. Amen. You hear people this. People are taught this in seminaries and things like that. Many today believe in many gods and many ways to heaven. If you don't believe that, just ask them. In other words, they'll tell you all roads lead to heaven. There's nothing any farther from the truth. Everyone sees a great light. You've heard that, right? When we die. And what they're seeing is the ER light above their head. That everybody sees a great light. Now, many believe in an all-loving God who will eventually receive all into his presence, no matter how you come to him, or matter how you claim to come to him. And our nation, I'm grieved for our nation today because the sins of America and abortion and homosexuality and licensing gay marriage, God's not going to overlook that. And he's not overlooking it. And our nation has become many nations under many gods. And Jesus here, as we're closing out the Sermon on the Mount, last week we were in the beginning, how we come into the kingdom, the Beatitudes. And now here in chapter 7, he gives an invitation. So invitations are biblical, right? He extends a time for decision, a time for a response. So in verses 13 through 29, if I can give you the broader context, he draws some characteristics here, some contrast between two gates, two ways, or you could say two roads, two destinies, two preachers, two professions, and two builders, and two foundations. But this morning we're going to be looking at two gates and two ways. And the decision we make will determine our eternal destiny of eternal life or eternal hell. So today we're going to look at these two gates and two ways. And understand today, we do understand today, there's only one gate that leads to the righteousness that can get us to heaven. Right? That's how we go to heaven, because we've been made righteous by God. He imputes to us the righteousness of Christ. Christ took our sin. We don't go to heaven because we're good enough. We don't go to heaven because we earned it, right? We don't go to heaven by our merit. We go to heaven because the righteousness of Christ has been given to us, 2 Corinthians 5:21, right? And once you understand that, it's going to put everything in the good old boy perspective. You can't beat your breast. It's by the grace of God, amen, that you can even go to heaven. And so, how can Jesus be the only way? Why is Jesus? Let me give you a very quick response. People say, well, I believe in other ways to heaven. I said, but you don't have a Jesus that died for my sins and rose again the third day. Amen? That's why he's the only way to heaven. Let's look at two gates, first of all, in verse 13a and verse 14a. Let's look at that again. Enter ye at the straight gate. Go down to verse 14. Because straight is the gate, which is narrow is the way. Gates speak of access, okay? When you want to go into a door, you go through a door. You go through a gate. You get to wherever you want to go. So gate here speaks of access to be with God, access to be in heaven. Now, all men will try to enter by one of these two gates. They're either going to try to go by human achievement or divine, Christ's divine work on the cross. I forgot the word I was going to use there. But all men will try to enter by one of these two gates. Now, Christianity, y'all understand, Christianity, I've taught y'all this enough, Christianity is not religion. Religion says all roads lead to heaven, while Christianity says Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Religion rests on man's work to reach God, while Christianity reaches on Christ's finished work on the cross to reach men, right? So there is a difference between religion and Christianity. And all men are looking for a road or a gate to get them to heaven, because it is assumed that both gates lead to heaven. People that are on the wrong gate, entered in the wrong gate, think they're on the right gate. It's just assumed that these both gates are going to lead to heaven, when in reality, one leads to heaven, the other to hell. And guess what? We mentioned that word here at Trinity, right? Because hell is real. Jesus spoke of hell more than he did heaven. So one leads to life and the other to destruction. And this destruction is total, eternal ruin. It's not extinction. What's the word I'm looking for? Extinction, right? You're not a math. You're not an English teacher, are you, Miss Boyd? Oh man, I'm in trouble, brother. I'm telling you what. I mean, it doesn't mean annihilation. Some people believe you're annihilated and that you don't know nothing and that's it. No, there's no annihilation in hell. There is conscious presence of suffering in hell. So the broad gate to hell is crowded because it's easier to enter and easier to travel. We have many people on the broad gate. They entered into the broad gate because they think that's the way, because they can carry their sin with them. See? Now, one gate is narrow and one exclusive. Let's look at it a little closer. Let's look at, first of all, the narrow gate is what we call exclusive. That's called the exclusivity of the gospel. There's only one way to heaven. Now, the broad gate is inclusive. What does the world want us to be? They want us to be inclusive. They want us to change our doctrine to accommodate sin, right? And sinful lifestyles. Y'all get that drift? That's being taught about today. And if you stand up for the narrow gate, they're going to make fun of you. But praise the Lord, they made fun of Jesus. Amen? So we go in by the narrow gate. One gate's narrow, and that's exclusive. The other gate is broad, and that's inclusive. We're talking about the gate now. We're talking about access, okay? We're going to talk about the way or the road in just a moment. But the narrow gate is narrow because it's limited to only one way of access. In John 10, verse 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. In John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way. That means there's no other way. The way. The definite article there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me, right? So he's not saying I'm one of many ways. I'm one of many possible ways to get to heaven. I might be the way. He says I am the way, right, to the Father. And Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So that's why it's the road less traveled, because it's narrow. Right? Because it's restricted. It is by faith in the blood of Christ. And he said, few there are that find it. Brother Larry and I talk about this quite a lot. Not everybody talking about heaven is going to get there, right? Jesus himself says, few there are that find it. Oh, we have a lot of faithful church members. We have people busy in religiosity and busyness and doing things like that. Well, we're talking about the narrow gate, right? And so that's why it's the road most traveled, because it's least traveled, because it's restricted. And I've used this term with y'all before, and y'all know what I'm talking about. Easy believism says many, while the biblical call to salvation, Jesus said few. Easy believism, and I'm going to explain that in a minute, but notice he says few find it. They're searching for it, but it doesn't mean they're not searching for it, but they don't find it because it's too restrictive. It's too demanding on their life. So Luke chapter 13, 23 and 24 talks about few that find it. Now that's the narrow gate. Let's look at the wide gate that also we see in our text here. The wide gate is wide because it's unlimited in many ways to enter, and it's easier, right? This is the most popular gate because it gives room for religion. It gives room for good works. It gives room for my sin. I don't have to leave my sin behind. It gives room for self-righteousness. You know, that's the biggest cause people go to hell, because they're self-righteous. They think they're going to earn it. You can bring along human achievement. I've done all these things, so I deserve to stand before you one day, God. It's the gate of pluralism. A pluralism is destroying the United States of America. Because we're a pluralistic society and political correctness, and that gives way to the broad gate, right? Ecumenicalism, what I mean, all faiths can be one regardless of what we believe. But you're not in the body of Christ if you don't come through the narrow gate, right? You're not in the church of Christ. And political correctness leads to eternal death. Now, there's political correctness spiritually speaking, but there's also political correctness politically speaking. Now, we've seen the two gates. Let's look at verse 13 and 14 again and look at the two ways. Look in verse 13b, first of all. And broad is the way. That's the way. That's the road. You know, now, the gate gives access. That's how we get there, right? Now, way or broad means it's the road traveled once you enter that gate, okay? And he says, the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be in it thereat. Look in the latter part of verse 14. And the way that leadeth unto life. Well, let's see, I've lost my place here. Y'all hang with me, right? I get up every morning because I don't want to wake up dead, right? Wide is the gate. Narrow is the way. Anyway, it's in their text. Trust me, it's in the text somewhere. Okay? All right? But it's wide. It's a wide gate. Now, what are we talking about here? Because it's unlimited. It's a wide gate. It's unlimited. Many ways to enter, and it's easier. And it's obviously the most popular gate because it gives room, again, for all our sin. And then as we get to two ways, we see the narrow way here. That's what I was trying to speak, the narrow way. The narrow way, two ways, first of all, speaks to the ease or difficulty of life once lived, once we enter into the two gates. Now here, excuse me for losing my place here, but the narrow way, it's a life confined, demanding, and a life of dying to self that Jesus talks about. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. They don't like that, because it's too restrictive, right? And literally it means to groan under pressure. It is a restricted way. Acts 14:22 says we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. It's the way of repentance. If you visit a church and you don't ever hear the word repentance, you need to find you another church. It's the way of submission, surrendering to his lordship. It's a way of obedience. It's the way of not looking back and keeping your hands to the plow, Jesus said. No one's worthy of the kingdom of God if they put their hands to the plow and they look back. A lot of Christians looking over their shoulder today. And then the broad way. This is a life that is easy, it's attractive, it's permissive. There's no demands, no sacrifices, no repentance, no commitment, few requirements. It's the way in which sin is tolerated. Truth is watered down and there's no change needed. There are people that actually sit in churches today that think you don't have to repent from anything and that doesn't call you to change your for God to change your life, you're okay just as you are, right? And many people preach that. But that's not the kind of theology that's going to take them to heaven. Sin is tolerated. I told you about the man that asked me, what do we do here at Trinity? Do we receive practicing homosexuals into the church? I said, no, they got to repent first, right? And like any other sin, there are people that are in unbelief. They're going to go to hell. It doesn't matter necessarily. We pick on the homosexuals, but God loved them too, and he died for them, right? If they repent, they can go to heaven. But we cannot receive them into the fellowship and call them in the body of Christ and serve in the church, practicing their homosexual lifestyle. Just like we're not going to receive a bank robber. A bank robber has to repent after he gives us the money, right? He has to repent, right? Someone in adultery has to repent, right? And it's just not that. But we're living in a pluralistic, inclusive and society. That means we can grab everybody and bring them along with us. Now, let me close with some thoughts here that have burdened me for years about the church, the so-called church. The modern evangelical church has widened the narrow gate, and we have restricted we made the narrow way wider as well, right? We're trying to build our membership regardless of being pure and being faithful to the Lord and to his word, right? The gospel is preached in many churches that does not match the gospel of Jesus and the apostles preached. And Brother Cham McMillan, we were talking about him a while ago, he's told me this several times, and he's right. He said the modern church in America is serving another Jesus other than the Jesus of the Bible. Come to Jesus. This is why the way it goes. Come to Jesus. You're going to be happy, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to be healthy. I'd like to see them sell that sale to the church martyrs. I'd like them to sell that to the Christian church martyrs in the Sudan or China, the early church. I'd like to see them, Brother Marcus, sell that to the young lady at Columbine High School that looked down the barrel of a gun and said, yes, I love Jesus, I'm a follower of Jesus. Right? It ain't going to work. You cannot reduce Jesus to a bracelet. What would Jesus do? You can't do that. It's a hard sell. God help us. We have reduced following Christ to a mystical life of fairy tales, raising the hand, signing the card, walking the aisle, you're in. Without any changed life. Regeneration means what? A changed life, doesn't it? Now, I know we're all not going to be where we need to be till we get to heaven, but there's got to be some evidence and spiritual fruit that we are born again, right? Are y'all with me? I do like the black preacher says, talk back to me now. Are y'all with me? This is Christianity. This is not strange. This is Christianity 101, and we reduced being a Christian to a bumper sticker that says, honk if you love Jesus. I've had a lot of people honk at me, and I didn't think they loved Jesus. In fact, I don't have that bumper sticker on my car because if it did, I'd be honking too much. Talk about almost road rage, right? Honk if you love Jesus. That's more than going to heaven than having a bumper sticker on your car, amen? Then how about this, what happens today in a lot of your churches? I call it the hip, hip, hooray theology, right? They're all there just to, it's a really big show, right? In fact, I've heard them say this before. It's about showtime, let's go out. No, there's no show about it. We fall down and worship the one who's worthy to worship. We're not here to worship us, we're here to worship him, right? It's not this hip, hip, hooray type theology. And I got news for you. It's not a fast food gospel either. Have it your way. Why? Because Jesus is the only way, right? It's not have it your way. Yeah, I told my wife the other day, I never have been docile and timid, but I'm not going to take it anymore. People come up with me to me with this weird stuff, I'm just going to tell them. That's not true, you know? And just call them out on the carpet right there. Let me ask you a question. In fact, I want to close with four questions. Bow your heads, if you will. I want to ask you four questions. Jesus, the only way to heaven. Which gate did you enter? Did you enter the narrow gate or the broad gate? Secondly, I'd like to ask you this. Which road are you traveling? The narrow road or the broad road? And then thirdly, I'd like to ask you a third question. Did your profession of faith in Jesus Christ cost you anything? Is there anything you had to leave behind? Or anything you didn't leave behind? Did your profession of faith cost you anything? And then lastly, did your profession of faith change your life? Or are you just a church member? There's no fruit, there's no root. John 15 says there's going to be fruit, more fruit, much fruit, but there's not going to be no fruit. Is there evidence that Jesus has changed your life? Has your want to change? Do you have an insatiable desire for the church, for Christ, for the Word of God, for prayer, for witnessing? Do you hate sin the way God did? He hated it so much he sent his son to die to deliver us from sin. Has your profession of faith changed your life? And I submit to you, if it hasn't, then you need to come to the cross today. Jesus said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. We come to him understanding that we're sinners in need of salvation. We come to him understanding we can't save ourselves. We come to him depending totally on the work of Christ on the cross for our sins, for our salvation. See, it's not us. We can't beat our breast and come before him and bring him anything worthy before him. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. We deserved hell. But I want to ask you today, did you come that way? Or did you just join the church like you joined a civic club? Has there been a true work of God in your heart? Has your life changed? Father, I pray today, this is a strong message, I know, but it needs to be strong in this hour. We're tired of many ways and many gods. We're tired of everybody thinking they're on the road to heaven because the good man upstairs, he's not the good man upstairs. You are the omnipotent, powerful creator God. And you're the only one that can save when we come to you on your terms. And I pray today that if there's one here without Christ, Father, you'll do that work in their heart. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.